No. The wind will gradually lose strength later this afternoon. By tonight, bitterly cold air will move into the region with wind chills dropping as low as 25 degrees below zero in some areas. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, a blizzard warning continues for Ford and Iroquois counties until 3 o'clock this afternoon. A wind chill watch has been posted for Ford and Iroquois counties from 9 p.m. tonight through tomorrow morning. And a wind chill advisory has also been posted for the following counties: Champaign, DeWitt, Douglas, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, and Vermilion. It goes into effect this evening at 6 p.m. and continues until noon tomorrow. The forecast for East Central Illinois: wind chill advisory goes into effect at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. This afternoon, there's a chance of some scattered snow flurries, windy with areas of blowing snow, the high 19, the wind from the northwest at 25 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 40 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and bitterly cold, the low 5 below zero. The wind will continue from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Wind chill readings will range from 10 below to 20 below zero. Tomorrow, sunny and bitterly cold with a high of 9. The wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour with wind chill readings from 10 below to 20 below zero. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and cold with a low of 4 below zero. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wind chill readings will range from 11 below to 21 below zero. Friday, mostly sunny, the high 18. The wind will be out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Morning wind chill readings Friday will be from 10 below to 20 below zero. Friday night and Saturday, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. The low Friday night around 10, the high Saturday in the upper 20s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, not as cold. There's a chance of flurries, the low around 20. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high around 30. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 20s. At Rockford, partly sunny skies reported and 22 degrees. O'Hare reported partly sunny skies and 21 degrees. Mostly sunny at Peoria, where it was 20. Springfield reported partly sunny skies, 22 degrees. In Carbondale, flurries were reported, 21 degrees there. In Indiana at South Bend, mostly cloudy, 21. In Lafayette and Indianapolis, light snow and 23 degrees. Also light snow and 23 degrees at Evansville. And Terre Haute reported light snow and 21 degrees. Willard Airport at the top of the hour reported cloudy skies and blowing snow, 20 degrees. The dew point 15, the relative humidity 81%, the wind out of the northwest at 26 miles per hour with gusts to 33 miles per hour, giving us a wind chill of 2, the barometric pressure 30.23 and rising. And at 12:41 Central Time, 21 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. So I guess we can revise the forecast. Our high this afternoon, we'll just say, in the low 20s. The political turmoil in Egypt has brought between 250,000 and 2 million people taking to the streets in protest. The country's president, Hosni Mubarak, said yesterday he would not run for re-election after his term ends at the end of the year. University of Illinois professor Aladdin Elasser predicted Mubarak's downfall back in 2009 in his book The Last Pharaoh, Mubarak and the Uncertain Future of Egypt in the Obama Age. Elasser spoke with Illinois Public Media's Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers about the future of Egypt.
Under Mubarak, he owns and runs the media. It's owned by the state, so we hardly talk to the common people on the street. So there is some miscommunication going on, and we need to have a lot of communication with this part of the world.
Well, if people weren't listening to the common person on the street, they certainly are now.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope they get the message, and we make the choice, and we support the people and the country, Egypt, not the dictatorship.
Is real democracy a possibility in Egypt?
Yes, it is. And I think people are gasping for freedom and democracy in Egypt and throughout the region because we have similar regimes, brutal military dictatorships through the region. And what we are seeing on the streets now in Egypt is groups of all ages, of all people from all the political spectrum. And it's not really that political or this is not a religious revolution. This is just a simple cry out for freedom and democracy, respect of human rights. So they're looking for hope, and it can happen because, I mean, we're talking about the Egyptian people who started civilization 7,000 years ago.
You said these protests are not a religious revolution.
Yes.
What's going to stop political or religious extremists from taking over the country?
Well, you know, that's a good question. But the very existence of these dictatorial regimes throughout the region is what brought in extremism. And if dictatorships is not going to end, well, we will have extremism there. And if we do not send clear messages to the people there that we really support democracy and we want them to have democracy, then they're going to be cynical. They will ask, on which side we are. So we've been given mixed messages to people over there because on one hand we talk about freedom and democracy, but on the other hand we have been supporting the Mubarak regime for the last 30 years. He's been getting about $2 billion from U.S. foreign aid every year. People there, well, they want to believe us. They believe in freedom and democracy, and they want us clearly supporting freedom and democracy there in the region.
Nobel laureate Mohamed El-Baradei has become a major voice in the opposition. Do you think he would really play a role in any future Egyptian government?
Yeah, he might. I don't have a crystal ball, but I think he may. And he would be a figure that would lead a transitional period or a coalition government, if you may say, and call for elections, real free elections this time, and free the media and all these institutions there, so they go back to normal.
You ran for president of Egypt in 2005.
Yes.
How would you assess the U.S.'s response to the protests and even its response to Egypt in the last couple of years?
I mean, the lessons. I mean, what are the lessons that we learned from Egypt? That we cannot support a military dictatorship again. Dictators are only good for themselves because they help themselves enrich themselves beyond imagination. So they are self-serving. We need not to lose the people in order to gain a dictator because the friendship and the cooperation with any people should last forever.
University of Illinois professor Aladdin Elasser. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. It's 12:46. Internet giant Google has unveiled a new website that allows virtual tours of some of the world's most famous art galleries. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports.
The art project is the brainchild of Google employee Amit Sood, who created the site during time allotted by his employer for personal initiatives. He says the tours are made possible using Google's Street View technology.
We have over 1,000 artworks from these 17 museums, over 400 rooms that have been captured in Street View, and over 385 artists.
Video cameras mounted on trolleys recorded 360-degree images of selected galleries. Each of the museums allowed one artwork to be photographed with extremely high-resolution gigapixel technology.
For example, the ambassadors from the National Gallery, you have No Woman, No Cry from the Tate, and many more. And you can actually get into details that are not visible to the naked eye using this technology.
Among the galleries featured on the website are the Palace of Versailles in France, the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam, and the Freer Gallery of Art at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News.
You'll find a link to the galleries at npr.org. Packer fans across the country are scrambling to get their foam cheeseheads before Green Bay and Pittsburgh square off in Sunday's Super Bowl. The headwear sprang from the rivalry between Wisconsin and Illinois. Aaron Toner has the story.
People in Wisconsin and Illinois have been jabbing at each other for as long as anyone can remember. Just recently, Wisconsin's governor solicited Illinois companies to move north to escape rising income taxes. And there's been lots of name-calling. The nicest referred to Illinoisans as Flatlanders, and Wisconsinites, Broadheads or Cheeseheads. 25 years ago, that moniker gave Ralph Bruno an idea.
I was going to be going to a baseball game. The Brewers were playing the White Sox, and they were calling us a bunch of cheeseheads.
So he burned holes into a sofa cushion, slapped on orange paint, and took his creation to the game in a paper bag.
My buddies didn't know I had it with me, and then I pulled it out of the bag, and I put it on my head, and boy, they scattered it away real quick. And a girl actually came up and wanted to try it on, so my buddies saw that. Wow, then I couldn't get the hat back from them.
If the ladies liked it, it must be a hit. So Bruno went home with what every entrepreneur dreams of, a great idea that could make some money. Now Bruno runs Foamation, Inc., a small manufacturing company near Milwaukee that sells tens of thousands of foam cheeseheads every year. In the back of this little factory, a couple of guys are filling paper cups with a thick orange liquid, sticking them under what looks exactly like a milkshake mixer and pouring the liquid into a mold.
This happens to be making coasters, you know, to put your drink on.
Like any good business in this economy, Foamation has diversified. In addition to the cheese heads, which sell for $20 each, you can get a cheese sombrero or even a top hat. Brian Brown popped into Foamation this week looking for a cheesehead product for a Navy buddy who lost a bet and has to wear the thing at a Super Bowl party.
I'm a Marine, so these are Navy people, so I have to get them something that would be god-awful.
I would probably say that it is one of the most recognizable pieces of memorabilia or symbols of a team that exists.
Jim Pokrzynski, who teaches advertising at Marquette University, says cheeseheads are utterly ridiculous, and that's part of their appeal. But not everyone embraces this 25-year-old tradition. Walking through a Milwaukee shopping mall, Scott Markey is wearing a Packers T-shirt, but that's where he draws the line.
Cheeseheads are the idiots that wear the foam on their head. I am not one of them.
And in another sign that great rivalries never die, Markey was in Chicago last weekend. When a bartender set up a tab for him, it said simply, Cheesehead. For NPR News, I'm Aaron Toner in Milwaukee.